All right. A little off to the side there, but so just to set it up real quick, that's a scale, a balance. We have a pile of gold bars on the left and a dove on the right. And Scott mentioned Noah today, and we know the dove flew out of the ark and found that spot, that was that patch of dry land, so to speak. You know, the dove is a representation of the Spirit and the grace that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. We find grace, and this was the closest thing I could come to a symbol of that grace, knowing that, you know, we've had such a great weight of sin in our lives before we knew the Lord, and he showed his grace to us. And so that's what that representation is. That carries us into the rest of the lesson here. So if you'll turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 17, and this is just, again, a jumping off point, starting point. It's not the core, really, but we'll start in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, beginning verse 16. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O God, and you have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and have regarded me according to the rank of a man of high degree, O Lord God." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, that you have provided so much for us in this life, Lord, that you have provided us salvation through your Son, Jesus, and that we have an opportunity to follow after you, to seek more, to learn more, to draw closer to you, to know more of Jesus Christ, to experience your grace, Lord, to experience your mercy, your kindness, your tender love towards us, Lord. I pray that we would just seek after you, Lord, that we would not seek an opportunity to have a need to turn to you, but to continually be looking to you, Lord. I thank you and praise you for your love towards us. I ask, Lord, that you give me the words to speak tonight, Lord. May hearts be open and may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So our opening passage here, David's overwhelmed by what God has done, has promised in his life. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me this far? And my understanding, and you know, people know a lot more about this, have studied the life of this person much more than I have, but my understanding is John Newton's Amazing Grace was this passage is what inspired that for him, or was a kind of a starting point for that. But again, I'm sure people know better than I do. But like I said, that was a jumping off point. So let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 12, and we'll read the whole passage right off. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sorry, I stumbled through that. Again, pray that the Lord gives me the words to speak here tonight. So I use my phone as my Bible here in service, and then I also use OneNote. I'll tell you about my technology. OneNote, along with my Bible, and I do it in a split-screen fashion. So I take notes during service, and one of the sections within OneNote, I have a section, a different page, basically. In OneNote, I have considerations, and so periodically I'll write a thought down, a phrase, a passage for considering later on, to look at later on. And this was one of them that I wrote down. I think it was in June 2024, if my memory serves from looking at that. So over a year ago, I wrote down much more. And I imagine the reason why I wrote it down was probably because somebody said something in Romans and said something about much more, and it was like, write that down. So that's how this came about this evening, is that I took an opportunity to write down a consideration and considered it. So we should ponder, meditate upon God's word, and even though it might have been a year ago, there's an opportunity at some point for you to share that word with someone else. So, much more, and this is in Romans was highlighted in verse 15, 17, and 20, that phrase, but I think, we can say it's highlighted throughout the scripture about the abundance, that great salvation, the enormity of what God provides us through his Son and by his Holy Spirit. We just have so much. We are so blessed. He provides us everything we need, and it's not in just a small amount. He provides abundantly. And I thank the Lord for that. Much more grace than sin. So Romans 5, verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. So we have much more grace and the gift by the grace through Jesus Christ abounded to many. Adam's sin led to what we have today. This world of sin, these mortal bodies that we have, it's in every aspect of this world. Christ, through his sacrifice, brought us grace, showed us grace. And that grace is not in the same proportion as what Adam did, but it's to overcome what Adam and what sin has done. But it's abounding. It's much more. and it's to all that would come. So it's not limited to us. It's not limited to a certain number across the ages. It's open for everyone to receive. And many have received, and it has abounded in many of our lives and continues to do so. Paul himself said in 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and beginning in verse 14, Paul speaks that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so for this reason, he obtained mercy. Beginning in verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. So, earlier I mentioned that we don't lean into our flesh, don't lean into our sin, just to think that we are going to receive something greater from God. God provides us what we need when we need it. He does so abundantly. Sin is not stronger than what God can provide in forgiveness. Grace does not barely cover us. We don't, so to speak, get into heaven by the skin of our teeth. Grace is overflowing to us. We need to open ourselves up to his grace. So going back to kind of earlier, John Newton, once a slave trader, and that's, I mean, I've watched movies, I've read books, we had to take history in class, and being a slave trader, that was a very violent, I think, a very vile, and what we would consider very inhuman craft, if you would call it that. But he found much more grace from God. And he wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." So this sin in our lives that was present before we came to know the Lord, that sin, yes, we were wretched, but amazing grace from God, that gift of his Son to us, to take our place there. How amazing that is, that we have life. Romans 5:17, much more reigning in life. So there's our transition, that we might have life, reigning in life. Romans 5:17, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Death has no victory over a believer. Death cannot rob us of anything that we have in Jesus. And death does reign over those who do not know him. Christ provides us with life. We receive that through his paying of his life and raising again, being raised again in that newness of life. He was victorious over death and of hell. He conquered death and took the keys of that. So he has the right for those who know him to bring us into life. Those who receive grace and righteousness will reign in life. We can reign in this life through that grace that he shows. as we walk with Him, we must choose to do so. We must choose to humble ourselves before Him. I think, you know, our Wednesday studies on Peter. Peter was bold. We know that. Peter had some shortcomings in his walk. We know that. He vehemently denied Christ, denied that he was associated with Christ. But later he boldly proclaimed Christ in Acts 2. And I thought about reading this, but I decided not to. So there you go. You can have your homework. You can read his sermon in Acts 2. But Peter lived a life for Christ. And we need to do the same. We need to allow Christ to work in us that we might reign in this life, but also that life to come. He gives us life, and it is eternal. It is nothing that we can't lose it. We can't lose this life that He gives us. And one thing that I kind of was thinking about when I was thinking about our lives at this time, I'll turn 50 next month, I've had time to reflect a little bit on my life. Not that I'm anywhere near some of the others in the audience here, but some time to reflect on my life. And one of the things that we can get very caught up in as young people in this world is looking at the things of this world. How do we view our success in this life? And if we have that right lens, we're looking to God. Success in this life means that we are overcomers through Jesus, that we have followed Him, that we have given over to Him all the things that would concern us, all the things that would cause us to stumble, sin in our lives, that when we have those things come up, we're turning to Him and acknowledging that. That's how we should view success. But oftentimes we look at our career. Where are we in our career? What kind of career do we have? Where have we been? What have we done? What are the experiences that we've had in life? Or what do we have? Do we have, all those things that would please us? Do we have that nice car, that nice home, that whatever it may be, that vanilla whole milk, no, not whole milk, oat milk latte, something like that. Do we have those things that would bring ourselves success, what we think is success in this natural life? And not that any of those things are wrong, but we need to be doing them in line with what the Lord has unto the Lord. And if He allows it, great. If He doesn't, we need to not do it. And that's really the key there is we allow the Lord to lead us and guide us, and we walk in those things that He has for us, and we can then walk in victory, reigning in this life through Christ Jesus. Much more grace where sin abounded, Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. And so the law exposed sin. It really showed how utterly incapable we are of being righteous in and of ourselves. We can't do it. We were not under the law as Gentiles. We were adopted into this family, but we have that law, that taskmaster, referenced in the Old Testament, that we can read about, that we can gain an understanding of, and how that law could not be fulfilled by anyone except for Jesus. And because of that, sin, because of the law, sin was shown to be abounding in the lives of the people. But Christ, he overcame. He was the perfect fulfillment of the law, and his grace abounded much more. So God's grace is sufficient. So kind of looking at a few examples in Scripture, turning to Luke 23, beginning in verse 39. Luke 23, beginning in verse 39. This is of the thief on the cross at the time of this crucifixion of Christ. And while it seems simple, that one moment in life changed for this one that shared time next to Jesus on the cross. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." That thief found in that moment grace. Amazing grace. That abundance of grace from the Lord. Turning to Luke chapter 15, we have the prodigal son who squandered everything that he had inherited from his father. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 20. "And he arose and came to his father." This is after he recognized that, he'd squandered his money. He lived that life of what some may say is the life you should live in this life. It was a natural life. It was a carnal life. And he found himself eating no better than a swine. And even they had abundance in food. At that, he recognized that, hey, I have a place to go, my father's house. I don't have to live like this. "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Skipping down to verse 31. "And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours.'" Speaking to the other son. "It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." This son found grace in his father's sight. Though he took advantage, so to speak, of what his father had and squandered it, he recognized, came to a recognition that he needed, he had sinned and he needed to return. And just as our loving Father accepts all of those who recognize their sin and turn to him, he accepts them with open arms. God's grace is not limited by how far we have fallen or what we've done in our lives. And that song, "Amazing Grace," "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." So even after we do find salvation, there are many things that could catch us up in this life. And as we look to him and trust in God, he can provide for us an avenue to reign in this life. We have been justified. We have been made righteous through Jesus Christ. Paul's much more argument, Adam's sin brought death to all. Much more, Christ's obedience brings life to all who believe. If one man's act had such a devastating reach, how much greater is the effect of the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, and I think we have time. We'll go ahead and read the whole passage. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Saints, we can cause much harm if we give in to this flesh, harm to ourselves, harm to others around us. And I think, you know, as we read this passage, this is speaking primarily to those things that we can suffer because we are a believer, not because we have turned away from God. But in that suffering because we are a believer, that as we walk with the Lord, and these things come upon us because we are to suffer with Christ. We are to experience that. We can look to him, and his grace provides what we need in those times. His grace provides us what we need in those moments when we would despair under that weight, under those tribulations. His grace provides us with what we need, and we can be more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not even if we choose to walk away and live a sinful life, that cannot separate us, because of his love towards us, he will not allow that. We have that life of Christ in us, and it is righteous. Paul's much more in Romans, much more grace than sin, much more reigning in life, much more grace where sin had abound. We as believers do not live through grace that is fragile, grace that is limited. We do not need to live under the power of sin, this flesh. We can live much more through Christ, and Christ has gained the victory. He has won that victory, and we can be victorious through him as we allow him to give us much more. I have several references that I did not include up here, but if you look throughout the scriptures, you know, throughout the whole Bible, but if you look specifically at Paul's writings, there continues to be a message of abundance, of plenty, of overflowing. where we can have full assurance, we can be filled fully. There's all of that given throughout what we have through Christ Jesus. And John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, John gives that same testimony in his word, in that we have abundance in Christ Jesus. So tonight's lesson is not a lesson where I thought, hey, you know, everybody seems to be preaching this lesson. It wasn't one of those, but yes, everybody seems to be preaching this lesson, because every lesson we have is pointing to Christ. And Jesus is all we need. Jesus provides everything that we need in abundance, much more than is ever required. He provides us much more because he loves us. Romans 8:1, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.